Support for the Front Porch comes from WVCarFinder.com, matching West Virginia cars to West Virginians who want to buy them. It's a service of the Charleston Gazette Mail. More at WVCarFinder.com. And you're on the Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn with Lori Lynn and Rick Wilson, and this week, J.B. Akers is a Charleston lawyer whose blog post on the Trump election went viral. It's called "Trump Won, and I Don't Understand Why You Don't Understand." J.B. is with us here on the Front Porch. Hey, J.B., thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start by actually having you read a couple paragraphs from your essay.
Urban voters have more jobs and more money. They either ignored or don't care that most of the rest of the country did not share in this turnaround. Do you believe Hillary Clinton's loss is partly or wholly grounded in rural misogyny? If so, let me ask you this. Does it matter to you that in the places where Trump won, women's life expectancies have decreased since 1987? In urban America, you are building new shopping malls. Where I live, people are dying younger than their parents.
So what motivated you to write this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when I wrote this and it went onto my law firm's website, and frankly, I didn't expect a whole lot of folks to read it.
Thousands now, right?
Yeah, well, it's been shared. I checked this morning quickly, and it had been shared this morning over 17,700 times, so almost 18,000 shares this morning. So this is something I really put up last week, and probably, frankly, was a little bit more cathartic for me at the time.
You know, there are a lot of folks now, I'm reading a lot of national commentary, divided into two camps. One point of view seems to be, let's try to understand the rationale for it, which is where your essay kind of comes from. The other one seems to be, no, they voted for a person we've considered to be deplorable. So why should we try to understand these people? We write them off for good reason.
Yeah, I understand why people struggle with separating Trump's terrible rhetoric, which I think a lot of it was, from maybe his broader policy discussions. And I think there's definitely some people who are highly offended by him, sometimes for good reason, who simply cannot say, you can't unbundle these things, right? But then I think there are a lot of people in America, places like West Virginia, Wisconsin, which has not voted for a Republican, I think, since 1984 in a presidential election. Okay, these folks didn't suddenly become horrible people. So a lot of folks in those places, I think, are saying, you know, maybe we have to ignore the bad rhetoric, or maybe it's just something we have to say is just political speak. What they're really focused on is the day-to-day stuff. And I think the way most people vote is they look around the place where they live and they say, how are things going here?
And you have something in here, I think, that gets to that. You talk about the difference between these other communities and where we live. You have new buildings and cranes in yours. We have empty storefronts and moving vans in ours. You at least have the hope that President Obama talked about. To us, that's just a slogan. And when I travel to D.C., for example, and you see just the explosion of growth, of wealth, it's mostly about government.
Right.
There's so much money going to places like that and away from places like West Virginia.
It's not true that the Democrats have ignored Appalachia. They have, you know, offered money. You talked about how that's not enough.
One of the things that I think made me really want to write this blog post is the accusations that it's just all based on stupidity and people were tricked, right? People here understand their situation. And I think they understand the culture of dependency that's been created from a lot of different variables. I think there's a feeling here that we're essentially been colonized by industry and our own government. And people don't like it. They can say that they want the social net stuff and they need it. But I think if they had their preference, they'd like to have jobs. And you talked about going to D.C., which I was there just a few months ago. I mean, this is not an urban versus rural, like, good, bad thing. I love metro areas. I love Washington, D.C. I love New York City. But when you go there, it is a much different, it's thriving. You can feel it. You know, maybe it's psychological, but it's a much different feeling than if you go to some place like McDowell County, West Virginia. And I know we can't go back to all that stuff, and it's not going to magically change overnight, no matter what any candidate says. But, you know, people want something different than what they have now. And if they had to ignore terrible rhetoric to get it, apparently they were willing to do so.
One thing I think that is interesting, a term we've used a lot in the last few months, is pulsating middle finger. This is a message. That's kind of been a meme on this program and a great image. Try to get it out of your mind, West Virginia. But one thing that's kind of an irony about this is now that it's happened, some of the things that may happen, some of the policies may actually wind up hurting a lot of people. Like Paul Ryan wants to basically privatize Medicare, which is several hundred thousand people in West Virginia, possibly block grant Medicaid, make major changes to SNAP, which mostly goes to working people. Nearly 180,000 people, most of whom work, got expanded Medicaid in West Virginia. So it's going to be interesting how it plays out. A lot of the prescriptions don't seem to be particularly beneficial to a lot of working people.
I think, though, that what a lot of working people are saying is a lot of things you're describing, and a lot of the things that are, by the way, the left continues to say this is the future for low-income people in places like West Virginia, it feels just a ton like charity and not like a revival plan. People are in Silicon Valley are talking about this idea that everybody gets a check, whether you can work or not, guaranteed income.
And actually, Nixon proposed that.
Well, yeah. I think it's horrible because I think work, you know, gives people value. And I think that checks are easier to cut than trying to solve the harder problem of bringing work back to places like West Virginia.
Yeah. Right, but consider Medicare. People have worked all their lives and get Medicare, and it helps them survive with dignity. I've never heard of people who deferred treatment for major diseases until they're eligible for Medicare. And again, if you have to work to get that. So,
fair enough. And we'll see what Ryan does with Medicare. I mean, everything's an open book right now.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point you guys brought up, too. And I kind of touched on that in my the essay I put online is we got to be a little careful what we vote for, because as many problems as Obamacare has, West Virginia now has the highest rate of insured children in the country. Do you want to say, sorry, kids, you lose your health insurance? At the same time, what I tried to really say in my essay was people need that. They'd rather have health insurance from an employer, really. It was what they'd rather have.
At one time, that was the case here. At one time in West Virginia, we had higher than average wages, higher than average health care, higher than average pension coverage, but those jobs have largely disappeared.
We're going to take a quick break and then hear more from J.B. Akers, Charleston lawyer whose blog post on Trump went viral. But first, you know, with this long and often contentious election finally behind us, I think it's more important than ever to remind ourselves of our values, the values of public media. We believe in civil conversation. We believe the truth matters. We believe in the dignity of every person's story. This is what public broadcasting is about. And this is what you support when you watch, listen, and donate to our station. Thank you for helping to tell West Virginia's story. Okay, and we're back with J.B. Akers. He's a Charleston lawyer whose blog post on Trump went viral. It's called Trump Won, and I Don't Understand Why You Don't Understand.
Well, you make the point that West Virginians would be happy to build solar panels. It's not that, you know, they're so attached
to coal or nothing,
coal
right?
As coal, but, you know, that those jobs haven't come here. They've gone largely to, you know, the coasts.
I think that's why, and again, I hate to use the middle finger analogy in some ways, because I don't think a lot of folks' motives were vindictive, although I understand there is some anger obviously out there. But I think that is where some of that anger comes from, which is, you know, hey, if and I know that the market forces are extreme and those have pressured coal. I've never denied that. I put that in my essay. But you also can't deny that the government was actively involved in manipulating the market. The government didn't want us to use fossil fuels, especially coal, so the government took action on that. And people, I think, would say in response, if our own government is going to make our economy and our commodity that drives our state, for the most part, the enemy, that's okay if you give us another option. But if you're going to take away not the government solely, but if you're going to help take that commodity away then and not give us something else to do, then that's a problem for us.
You know, I think it's useful in thinking about that to lay out the timeline, how we got to where we are. Because, you know, in 2008, there was talk about a cap and trade plan, and that plan had mechanisms that would have dealt with unemployment and harm to coal country. But it was shot down, never got through the Congress. Even though they had a Democratic Congress, they never really could get the votes together to do something like that. And so Obama went to Plan B, and Plan B was regulation. And regulation doesn't allow for any sort of plan like that to fund economic revitalization. And so because of the gridlock, Obama still wanted to get something done on climate change, and he went after the one thing he could go after, which is basically the power industry. But it didn't allow for any sort of investment.
Right, because you can't use the Environmental Protection Agency to, you know, be a...
They don't award grants.
You shouldn't, yeah. Right, exactly. Right.
But Congress still had Republican Congress still had control of the purse strings.
I think their main goal since 2010 was to make sure no major legislation from the White House went anywhere.
So
exactly.
The dysfunction led to where we are today.
More extreme result, that's right. Yeah.
Mm. Well, hey, is there anything else you want to say about this as far as... Hold on a second, Rick. What's going on here?
We have an announcement to make. JB and I, you're both listening to two graduates of Milton High School.
That's right.
Right here, I mean, right in Cabell County, which is why we talk so pretty, right?
Doesn't get much better than that, buddy. Two of us at once, half the panel's from Milton High School.
Feel the power.
I think it was probably all the Stewart's hot dogs he ate growing up is what gave him his massive capacity over there. His brain power all came from that.
All right. Well, I tell you, Milton High School grads, let us know. It's obviously, you're changing the world. We'll have you on one at a time until we've gotten through all of you. Anything else you want to say, JB?
No, I just think, you know, I hope that we have positive result out of this stuff. I hope that the conversation turns more positive. It's going to be tough to do, but I do think it was encouraging to me to see this get, you know, from a guy who nobody knows, my post gets shared so much, and I saw a lot of really complimentary things said about West Virginia. And I actually have had people call my office, people from different states, and say, you know what, I didn't like the result, and I voted for Hillary Clinton, but, you know, I understand now a little bit of why folks felt the way they did. And it's not because they're stupid. It's not because they're bad people. It's because there's real issues out there.
And that's The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn with Rick Wilson and Lori Lynn. Thanks for listening.
Careful where you make your stand. Blood has been spilled on this land. And as a spark ignites a fuse, burns a man's heart with nothing to lose. Just down. When this man in town just down.